right, I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. I understand that I am making these Bible studies as we go through here. So last week I had intentions of finishing this chapter up, but as I worked on the first part of the message, it wound up taking up all the time that we would have for tonight. So we're not going to get to the children tonight. If you were hoping that we were going to be talking about that, that'll be, Lord willing, next Wednesday. But we are going to be taking a look at the miracle of evil waters that were healed. We are looking at the early days of Elisha's ministry after the translation of Elijah. And we've already seen Elisha performed his first miracle, the parting of the waters of Jordan to walk back across it. And tonight we're going to see the second miracle. And first of all, let's just read the scripture. Let's pick up in verse number 18, read down to verse number 22, shall we? Verse number 18, and when they came again to him, and notice here, for he tarried at Jericho. That's where Elisha was at. He said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? Remember, they went looking for Elijah and didn't find him. He had tried to talk them out of doing that. And while they were doing that, he stayed 3 days there in Jericho. And the reason I read that, I know we finished with that verse, but verse 19 says, and the men of the city, it's the city of Jericho, it's what it's talking about. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is naught, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters, cast the salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Now, anytime you see where it says unto this day, it's talking about the day that this was written. Okay, talking about the writing of the scriptures. Ever how long that was after, it was still, the waters were still healed up till that time. So, first thing we see the city of the miracle. The location of this account is Jericho. And, as I said, we know that from the previous passage there in verse number 18. Elisha stayed there for 3 days. Now, the name Jericho means fragrant. Fragrant. And it was said to be also the city of palm trees. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 3. And it was part of the expanse of the land that was once compared to the Garden of the Lord, talking about the Garden of Eden. And you'll find in Genesis 13 and verse number 10, talk about the well-watered plains of Jordan. This was part of the well-watered plains of Jordan. Jericho was a part of that. Lot chose, when he saw that it was well watered, he chose that part of the plain, and he would have been better off settling in this area of Jericho than he did winding up being in the gates of Sodom. But he chose to go towards Sodom. Now we see not only the city of the miracle, but we see the men of the city, the men of the city. There in verse number 19, here in verse 19, we see men of the city came to Elisha asking for his help. And I want you to note how quickly Elisha's power with the Lord had already been made known. It's amazing. You know, word gets around. I mean, they didn't have cell phones and text messages, didn't have TV and radio, nothing like that. All they had was word of mouth, but word of mouth was getting around already, because the only ones that knew about this was Elisha himself and the 50 sons of the prophets that were out taking a look, trying to find where Elijah was at. And they had been the only ones present to really to see that first miracle of parting of the water Jordan. But here also we find that these people where he stayed 3 days, somehow they found out about it. I don't know if Elijah was talking about it. Elisha was talking about it. Or whether the sons of the prophets, when they came back, they started talking about it. Nevertheless, we see they were asking for Elisha to do something for them. Now, let me remind you that the name Elisha comes from two words, one meaning God and the other meaning to be saved. El meaning God and Yasha meaning to be saved. So his name means God is salvation or God the Savior. And so notice what they say of their city there in the second part of verse number 19. They said, "Behold, I pray thee, the situation of the city is pleasant as my Lord seeth." I mean, he's been here 3 days. He's not had an opportunity to look around, opportunity to see the sights, so to speak, of the city. And it was a beautiful area. Now, understand the area of Jericho was and still is known for its beauty. It lies on a broad plain not far from Jordan, and running through it is the Prat River. It's adorned with groves of palm trees and sycamore trees. In fact, this is the town, if you remember when Jesus met Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree, he was passing through Jericho. It's where he was passing through. And along with the beauty of the trees, I've read where there are aromatic shrubs which adorn the air with wonderful smells. That's probably how it got its name. Remember, Jericho means fragrant. So from Jericho, you got all this beauty. You got the sights, you got the smells, you got it looks great. You could even see the mountains of Moab from Jericho. So all in all, it was, and I understand still is, a pleasant place to visit. Now, the third thing we see here is we see the problem with Jericho. There in the third part of the verse number 19, you see the but there. In these few words, we can sense, and no doubt Elisha could sense also, that there was a but coming, right? I mean, why come out to tell him that he's obsessed with already? You know, obviously it was a beautiful place. Obviously, it looked like a great city. If the city was beautiful, and if that was evident to Elisha, then they had to have some point that they wanted to make about it, and they did. Yes, by all appearances, Jericho was a beautiful place, but there was an aspect that Elisha was probably not fully aware of, something that was contrary to this otherwise pleasant city. Water's important, isn't it? Water's very important. And great tasting water is very important. I grew up in Sterling Baptist Church in Brunswick, Georgia, and we grew up with sulfur water in that church. Now it has a well that is a deep well, and the water is good. But the whole time that I grew up, church, all I ever remember, when you went there, you didn't want to drink the water. And whenever they would wash the dishes, turn the water on, it smelled like the rotten eggs. Yeah, Miss Ellen's right, just like rotten eggs. And, water is something that if it's bad, it just leaves. Yes, it's just bad. It's bad for it to be bad. It says there in verse 19, he says, "But the water is naught, and the ground barren." Now, that word naught there means it's bad or it's evil. The water's evil. This water's bad. And barren there, when he talks about the ground being barren, it means to bereave of children, to cause a miscarriage. And so the water was tainted as if cursed. And in turn, this ground, this caused the ground to be barren and unfruitful. And the beautiful trees would, the fruit would come and it would abort the fruit. And the beautiful trees would miscarry their fruit because of the water. And the historian Josephus, you've heard that name, he's not in the Bible, but he wrote a lot about the history of the Bible, and he's a historian, and he says that it not only caused the plants to be barren, but this water caused the women and animals to miscarry as well. So it wasn't good for the women, and wasn't good for the animals. It wasn't good for the fruit on the trees. So in other words, the ground that the men refer to extends to the inhabitants of that ground, both animal and plant. Now, some say the reason for this curse, if you want to call it that, went back to Joshua's day. After the Battle of Jericho, Joshua pronounced a curse on the one that would rebuild the city. Now, I think that's stretching it a little bit, because the curse was upon the one who built the city, not actually the city itself. Joshua 6:26 says, "And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof, and his firstborn and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." And many years later, in fact, we've already seen it in our studies when we were in 1 Kings, in the time of King Asa of Judah and King Ahab of Israel, a man did rebuild the land. And it says in 1 Kings 16:34, "In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun." So the area of Jericho was, some say, was under a curse. But the waters of Jericho we see here, it could have been an indication of that, but I think there was probably something else going on, that this happened much later. You're not going to have people hang around where the water's bad. I think this was a more recent thing that had happened here. And we're not told the reason why the water was bad. We're just told it's bad. And so we see the miracle of the Lord by the hand of Elisha next. Look down at verse number 20. "And he said, Bring me a new cruse and put salt therein." Okay? So Elisha's instructions here are twofold. Bring me a new cruse. Now, the word translated cruse is only found here, and it means an elongated or tall jar. That's what it's talking about. He wanted a new one, and this certainly seems to have had importance to the prophet, as he was quite specific, and I think there's two reasons for that. If it was not a new one, then somebody could say, well, there was something in that jar that caused it to heal the waters. And it would take away from the glory of the Lord. Secondly, it was to be uncontaminated by previous use. Its purity was intended to typify the process of purification which would come upon the waters. Okay? Maybe you wanted a pure jar, to purify the water. And so this same concept of using something new, something that's never been used before, is seen several times in Scriptures. Most notably, you find it in Jesus' day. If you remember when Jesus told his disciples to go get the colt, that he's going to be riding through Jerusalem, and he had requested a colt that had never been ridden upon, according to the gospel accounts. So we see here Elisha said, and put salt therein. So you got a new cruse, salt put in it. Understand that salt is one of the things in the Bible where its symbolic meaning can only be derived from the surrounding context. In some cases, salt can be used as a destructive agent. I know there for a while we used to take rock salt out when my grandmother and my grandfather were buried, and they got the white rock that are out there and the weeds want to come up in it. And we'd go out there and sprinkle salt on it to kill. That was before time of Roundup. Go out there and pour the rock salt, and it would kill the weeds and keep them from coming back. At least for a while, until the salt washed away. Then you'd have the problem again. But sometimes somebody wanted to ruin a field that an enemy had planted, they would go out and sow salt in the field. That was a tactic that was used back during this time. Salt was also used in connection with covenant offerings and sacrifices. It was and still is used as a condiment to make food more palatable. I like salt. Okay? A doctor don't like me to have salt. And they'll try to get you to lower your sodium intake, your salt intake. But listen, when I'm eating grits, salt's going on it. And I am going to eat grits. And when I'm eating rice, you can't eat rice or grits without having salt on it of some sort. And so, you know, there's certain things that you got to have salt for. I'm sorry. But, you know, a man's got to live. You know, if I'm going to live, I'm going to enjoy life. He said, well, you're going to die younger. Well, so be it. But I'm going to die happy, Anna. Now, it was and still is used that way. And it was also used as a preservative. I can remember people would take and kill animals and preserve them with salt. I don't know if there's a lot of that being done today. But that was one way that you could preserve meat. In general, salt indicates concepts such as perpetuity and incorruption and loyalty and friendship. But it's further a symbol of the power of life which destroys death. Now, Elisha, as a prophet of God, is making he's doing this to try to heal the waters, and he's asking for this common and yet important substance as a response to their concern about the evil condition of the waters. Now, the fact that he would choose salt is kind of odd, it's kind of strange, but I think he wanted to say, look, you know, you might think this is going to make it worse, but God's the one that's going to heal the waters. It was really to take away them from looking past the divine nature of what was fixing to happen. So the new jar and the salt in that jar point to the divine nature of the miracle that he's about to perform here according to the word of the Lord. And he did do this according to the word of the Lord. We see the men of Jericho obeyed Elisha's instructions there. It says there in the latter part of verse number 20, and they brought it to him. Ain't nothing like obedience, is there? Now, suppose they had not been obedient to what Elisha asked them to do. You think the waters would have got healed? No. Yeah. Man, if you want something from the Lord, you got to make sure that you're obeying the Lord and what he requests. And in what under normal circumstances might seem a pointless thing to do, they complied with Elisha's request. And we'll see later on in our studies in this book where Naaman the Syrian, we know the story, right? Naaman the Syrian came to Elisha to be healed of his leprosy. And when Elisha asked him to do a simple and seemingly pointless thing, he balked and got angry. But then his servant said, you know, if he'd asked you to do something else simple, wouldn't you have done it? Yeah. He was shown the folly of his ways and finally followed Elisha's words and he was healed. And again, goes to obedience. At times, the simple things that we're asked to do are things which may seem pointless, and yet they're the things which bring about the most wonderful results. I mean, you think about salvation. What does it take? Simple repentance and faith. That's it. It's what it takes to be saved. Turn from whatever way that you're going toward God. Yeah? Turn to God. Believe on Him, and you can have salvation. Yet many think that that's too simple, and they try to add something to God's plan of salvation. But listen, to add something to God's plan of salvation makes it not God's plan of salvation. You know, you've tainted it. You've messed with it. All folks need is the gospel, the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, we see Elisha calls here for the healing at the Lord's word. It says there, and he went forth unto the spring of the waters. Now, the spring is where it's bubbling up at. I think I've told you before, we used to have a favorite vacation spot that belonged to my uncle. He had a little cabin on the Little Satilla River there near our home. And we would go during the summer and spend a week there. And it was right there on the coast. And one of the favorite things we loved to do, me and my brothers, we'd go ride bikes and we'd get hot and sweaty. And we knew there was an artesian well out there, a flowing well. And that is the purest water, the cleanest water. And we'd go out there and drink of that. And as it was springing up, and that's what the word spring means. It means to come out. And so this is speaking of the exit of the waters, where it's bubbling up at. And cast the salt in there. That's where he casts the salt, directly into the source of the waters. Now, because it was a flowing spring, it would appear that this could have no true effect on the waters, no true change of the waters. The salt would simply purge right back out of the stream as it flowed. I mean, you cast it in where it's bubbling up at, the salt's going to come out, right? And so this is another symbol of the divine nature of what occurred here. The Lord's the one that did this. Look at verse 21 again, the latter part of the verse. And said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. Okay, let's take it the first part. Thus saith the Lord, that the prophet is the mouthpiece of the Lord. And therefore he is speaking on behalf of the Lord. However, he still makes the statement in the name of the Lord. If Elisha was truly a prophet of the Lord, and if the Lord truly was speaking through him, then what Elisha stated could not possibly fail to occur. I mean, if he's saying, the Lord's saying this is going to be healed, and it hadn't been healed, what would he have been? A false prophet. They could have taken up stones and stoned him. But he was speaking on behalf of the Lord, and he says, the Lord said, okay, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. By the word of the Lord, the waters were healed at that moment. It could not have been the jar. It could not have been the salt. It could not have been the prophet. It was the Lord. It was the spoken word of the Lord as the principal cause, and by the use of the jar and salt as the instrumental cause, that this miracle was to be effected. Now, the same word that was used to describe the Lord at the healing of the bitter waters of Marah, remember in Exodus 15:26, when there were bitter waters there, and the Lord healed the waters there for his people. And in Exodus 15:26, it said, the Lord said, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Okay? That Jehovah Rapha. Well, you see that same Jehovah Rapha here. So the Lord who heals, once again, healed bitter waters for his people. In turn, the resulting problem caused by this evil water was healed by this act as well. Notice, look at verse 21. It says, and he went forth into the spring of the waters, cast salt in there, and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. Notice, there shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. The promise is made here. If termed in the positive rather than the negative, we could state it from now on. From this well, there will only come life and fruitfulness. Not going to be any more death from it. Okay. The curse was reversed at the speaking of the word, and the result is that found there in verse number 22. So the waters were healed. Success. Amen. The Lord was in it. The waters were healed. What previously brought only death and barrenness now brought health and restoration. And this still remained true up to the time that this was written. And it says there, were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha which he spake. Now, this is not intended to give Elisha credit for the miracle. That has already been given to the Lord in the pronouncement Elisha made over the water. He wanted them folks to know the Lord's one healing the waters. What this did was to solidify in the eyes of the people and in our minds that Elisha was indeed a valid prophet of God. Amen? He was a prophet of God. He said, the Lord's going to heal these waters. The Lord has healed these waters, and yet the waters were healed. So Elijah spoke in the name of the Lord, and the Lord's word through him was validated. Well, that's our Bible study for this evening. Now, next week, Lord willing, we'll see Elisha's third and probably his most controversial miracle. The cursing in the name of the Lord of what the Scripture calls children who are mocking the man of God. Some people have a real problem with that. Okay, we're going to take a look at it. What is that all about? Well, Lord willing, next Wednesday, if He allows us to do it, we'll examine what happened and why. Amen. All right, this is our Bible study. Let's set that aside, pull out our prayer list. We'll pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed with this prayer.